This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time today, Destin, to come on our show. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate it as well.
Why don't we start off, Destin? Please introduce yourself and your company.
Yeah, my name is Dustin Poole, and I own Dustin Design and Drafting.
And how long has that been, the business been around for?
Well, I first started while I was in college, but now I've been incorporated since 2012 officially.
Wow, congratulations. It's not too many businesses make it past the 10-year mark. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, struggle, but as entrepreneurs know, it's something you got to love, you know?
So you started right out of school?
I went to high school directly right into college. I took architectural technology at Algonquin in Ottawa, and that's what really set my career forward in that field.
And did you end up working in that industry first, Dustin, or did you go right into this?
Well, when I graduated in 2006, 2007, there was a downturn. It was very hard to get a job in our field, but I was able to find my way to stay within that kind of realm. But it wasn't exactly for the first 2 years, I wasn't in the architecture world. I was in the millwork kitchen world. So that was part of the struggles.
And what kind of work do you currently do?
Well, right now we're mainly doing residential projects. So that can be from, you know, a homeowner looking to do additions, or a brand new home, or an apartment building. So we're limited in size and height that we can do as a technologist or as a architectural designer, but we're really in that world.
And do you focus, is all your efforts in Ottawa, or do you go outside of Ottawa?
Most of it, I would say 90% is in Ottawa, but we have random projects a little bit around the country, actually.
And are you doing commercial, residential, both? What does it look like?
Mostly residential, a little bit of commercial if it comes our way.
You know. And what would you say the bulk of your work is? Is it more addition add-ons, or is it more new builds?
Yeah, definitely renovations, all sorts of renovations. It's instead of building new right now, a lot of it in Ottawa has a lot of older homes and people are modifying them. And that's sort of the trend right now.
And Dustin, for our listeners and myself, quite frankly, who are ignorant as to, you know, what these services can do, what advantage it is by using a service like yours over trying to figure this out for myself, but kind of walk us through that.
Yeah. I mean, as a homeowner, you know, eventually you might grow out of your house. You know, you may want a bigger space. And from that idea of a homeowner wanting something different from their home, they want to bring in the qualified professionals to be able to help them and understand what it costs, understand what options they are. And a lot of contractors, designers, we all work together to be able to create that goal for this homeowner. And essentially we're creating drawings, we're creating design plans, and we're applying for building permits with the City of Ottawa. And we're dealing with all the paperwork, all the red tape to be able to get to the final construction of the project.
So correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're not only removing the headaches of having to do all that, but I would guess you're probably saving the money too by making sure things are done properly from the beginning. Is that a fair point?
Absolutely. We bring extra value by trying to bring in some of the trades, some of the contractors ahead of time to prevent some issues happening, which can save thousands of dollars if things are thought through and if people take a bit more time to plan out the renovations.
And do you ever get called into a project where things have already started and they did not get the right permits, or, you know, it's halfway through a tough project and you're brought in to correct it?
That's very true. I bet you a handful of times serious issues have come up like that. Either the contractor started work without a permit, the neighbor called the city, they got a stop work order, and then it's to deal with the mess. And unfortunately, that can go one way or another, extremely annoying, or, you know, we can kind of solve it. So it just really depends on what situation has happened. But unfortunately, it does happen.
And is most of your business word of mouth, referrals? Is that where you're getting it from?
Yeah, we align ourselves with a lot of good contractors in the city of Ottawa, and we do also the trade shows in at the UI Center. So we're getting a mixed bag of clients coming a little bit from everywhere. But yeah.
And why entrepreneurship? What was it? Well, you mentioned there was a downturn in the economy, so you, there was no work, so you kind of had to do this. But was that in the family history, or did you have peers that started their own businesses?
Yeah, there's a little bit of family history. My dad in the 1980s started the first video business in the Pontiac area.
Huh.
And that's been kind of what set us up as a family. And ever since then, you know, that's always been, you know, in my mind. And, you know, talked about throughout the years with my father. And yeah, it's always something that drawn me. And unfortunately, I've seen people in our industry, you know, get cut from their employers, you know, layoffs, things like that. And I just wanted to try to put the odds in my favor and control a bit more of my own life, to be honest. So that was kind of more where I seen myself going.
Now, you were pretty young when you started this. Did that provide some barriers for you?
Yeah, I was 28 when I officially started on my own. And yeah, it was a challenging time, to the point that some clients or some homeowners didn't think I was fit to run a company because they thought I was like 22 because of my look. But I was able to demonstrate with my knowledge, you know, how to help them and continue from there. And, you know, some people appreciated that. And some people, well, if they thought I was too young, it was their loss. And for, you know.
Yeah. So did you have any kind of training in overcoming those objections? Like, did you take any sales courses, or did it just come naturally to you? Is this something you kind of fought your way through and figured it out?
I definitely grinded through everything. You know, I had a good client base to start full time on my own. I was always doing it evenings and weekends, pretty much since college. So I've always had that client base to be able to kind of piggyback off of. So, you know, it was just scary to start on your own officially. But I made the leap, and, you know, we're still here kicking.
Yeah, good for you. Anything else about your background that kind of led to this journey? If you're looking back at, you know, your kind of teens and early 20s, was there, other than your dad just starting that business?
I think I've always wanted to run my own business. You know, it was always in the back of my mind. It was either working for a big company and being very comfortable, or getting outside the box and really trying to make something. Creating wealth, unfortunately, is a lot easier when you're your own boss instead of, you know, working as an employee. So that was a big, when you understand that idea, I think that's very important, you know, when you try to lay your life out.
Would you also agree that, you know, people, I find that when we're talking to a lot of the, especially, you know, startup entrepreneurs, their North Star is money first. And we try to get them to understand that if you do, you know, yes, you have to get there. We understand that. We all got to, you know, shoot for that. That makes sense. But we got to focus on your core services and what it is you're doing. And you got to make sure there's good value. And that's the only way you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Did you start with that mindset, or did you start with the money first and trying to figure it out afterwards? And if so, do you think that was the right approach at that time?
Well, my particular situation is I went through a divorce, actually. So I really wanted to have a lifestyle to be able to, you know, focus on my kids and kind of work my way through. And I knew working for someone 9 to 5, you're really stuck in that world. And I wanted to have a bit more flexibility, for my time, for my activities. So it's actually a little bit of both. It's more the flexibility on time, to be able to shift the time, to be able to do things during the day, and to be able to have a different way of living. And now it's really paying off, as I get older.
An interesting point, because, you know, so many people, when they hear of entrepreneurship, they think, oh my gosh, you know, you're working all these hours. And yes, you do. Let's not get ourselves.
Yeah.
But you do have that flexibility that if you have to do something, or your kids at an event, or, you know, something you need to attend, that it's your schedule now, and you can adjust that accordingly. And I think, you know, older entrepreneurs in particular that may have worked for someone for a long period of time, they struggle with that adjustment. because their mindset has always been those, like, punch in at this time, punch out at this time. What do you mean I have this flexibility all of a sudden? Where someone's starting a business when they're young, they don't know those older, those, I don't want to say bad habits because they're not bad habits, but those working for someone habits. Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I've worked for many companies before I started my own full time, and I see different approaches from different people. Myself, I was always working. It was either working or kids or whatever that was happening. So it didn't really change my mindset about working. You know, 8 o'clock to 11 at night, that was just normal when you're doing full time work and you want to do evenings and weekends. You know, moonlighting, we call it. And so it really didn't bother me. And now it's just normal. But if I want to take a day off to go golfing, or if I want to take a week off to go snowboarding, I have all kinds of flexibility now. And now I have a team behind me. So, you know, it really, really is the flexibility I'm really happy with.
And that didn't happen overnight, right, Dustin? I just want to create realistic expectations for anyone listening. That
absolutely not.
It takes time, yeah.
Even 10 years later, you know, 2 years ago, I took off finally for the first time for 2 weeks. And there's still issues, you know, and I have a little team, you know, so no matter what, you're always working. And it's just to find that, I know there's a lot of people that talk about work-life balance, but it's more how to fit everything in. You know, I don't know if there's much of a balance, but everyone has their own experiences for that. It's just how much effort do you want to put into something to create a result? The more you work, the more, hopefully, the more money you get. So it's really a balance on what you want in life.
I say this repeatedly on the podcast, but it's really, to me, it's more about work-life integration versus work-life balance. How do you integrate both into each other so that they can both thrive and survive?
Exactly. Yeah.
Dustin, let's shift our focus a little bit and go kind of in the advice side of the podcast. So, you know, why don't we start with someone that's listening that maybe thinking of starting a business? Is there anything that you would recommend first and foremost that they think about or that they do?
Yeah, I would definitely make sure you have enough money in your bank account just in case things don't, you know, pan off right away. That's very important. I didn't have that luxury. I just kind of went for it. But I think I would have felt a lot better and maybe not worked as crazy hours without having a buffer. I would talk to a good accountant right off the bat. That would have probably saved me a lot of headache as well over the years. Finding an accountant that's in your industry and maybe a referral from someone, I think that's important. I mean, I wish I had a business coach or a bit of more of a mentor back then of just creating a company and how to structure things. I literally grinded it through, and it was myself for about 5 years until I had my first employee. So processes wasn't as important. But as I'm getting more experienced now, everything's kind of coming to light as a real company is being created. I hope that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it's a really interesting point you're making about getting someone who, a good accountant you mentioned, because I've always maintained that is a true investment. I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs I talk to. Oh, I'm going to just do all this myself. I'll file my taxes. And I said, well, hang on a second here. And I'll mention, you know, a good accountant is not inexpensive. Let's put it that way. Oh. But typically they can find you those savings or down the road, or eventually I find that investment pays off. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And those are the people that you can kind of run your ideas through. You know, as I'm getting more experience, now I'm getting into, you know, different parts of the field of architecture, you know, even real estate development and how to structure everything. And you really need the proper team to be able to do all those things, you know, to bounce those ideas off of before you do a major mistake that could set you back a couple of years. And that's really what it's preventing. Yes, there's an upfront cost for sure. At that time, I was thinking I could do everything. I was one of these people that did everything. And I probably should have invested in a bit more time to structure things properly. And maybe I would be a little bit more ahead now, but we all make our decisions of how to run our practice or our company at that time.
But I think it's really important that even though if you're using an accountant or an outside source to take care of that part of your business, you have to understand the basics.
Yeah.
You know, all the statements, what do they mean? What do they represent? Doesn't mean, you know, how you, as I always say, it doesn't mean you you have to know how to push the buttons, but you got to understand what the end result is, because otherwise I think the relationship with your accountant won't be as strong as it could be if you have at least a basic understanding. So if you agree with that, first of all, if you do, did you take a course? Did you read a book, or did you, you didn't do that and you wish you did, or you don't agree with that statement?
Yeah. No, I think back then, I was not financially inclined. I knew that I was making enough money to survive. I knew that I was doing okay, but then I didn't realize how realistic it is. You know, everything looks different in your bank account versus what you owe. So you really needed that. Like, I actually just learned it the hard way by asking the question, saying, what's going on here? Or, you know, I've read things online, there's YouTubes, there's so much information out there now. I've had bad accountants that give me wrong information that has caused problems. So that's why it's so important to find the good ones.
Is there any other advice you'd like to share with someone thinking of starting a business?
Yeah, I would think the other thing is a good mentor, because you're going to get involved in some sort of situation that you've never seen. And what do? You know, who do you ask? I think it's really important to have a good network. The network that you create are the resources that you can use to get you out of jams. They can get you, you know, to look at the world differently. And the people you surround yourself by, I think that is what I should have done I wish I had podcasts like this. I wish I had things a little bit more accessible when I first started, to be able to talk to people. And I think that's part of a situation as well. There's not a lot of people to talk business, you know, with sometimes if you're not involved or have friends that are business owners. Now, most of the people I hang out with, they own their own businesses, almost everyone, even some of my friends. So that has really helped me, you know, talk business with them and understand what they're doing and how it relates to me and that sort of thing.
For our listeners that may be intimidated by, especially if they're a younger person thinking, oh, geez, how do I go about getting a mentor? Dustin, I want your weigh on this, but it's been our experience, or my personal experience, that I've had the good fortune of mentoring a number of people throughout the years. And a lot of times, all you have to do is ask.
Yeah. So
would you agree?
On my experience, I kind of talked to some of my clients, actually, that gave me a lot of advice. And I ended up just finding people along the way to kind of say, hey, can you help me with this? And they became sort of a mentor when I got into these situations. I mean, I didn't really realize I needed one either back then. You know, now I have a business coach, I have a mentor, I have all kinds of people around me to be able to come up with solutions for problems. Really, that's what we are. It's a problem solving, you know, problem solver.
Yeah, I agree. What advice would you give to an entrepreneur that currently already is owning or operating a business and is struggling? It sounds like you had some struggles early on. So what advice would you give them?
Just don't stop. You know, that's the whole trick. Do not stop no matter what. If you listen to all kinds of business coaches, the only time you fail is whenever you stop, you know, and you stop when you get discouraged. You stop when there's all these issues happening. And the whole trick is just never stopping, keep moving forward, and then finding a way no matter what. I mean, the more you want something, the more you're going to work towards it. You know, and my biggest advice is, you know, trust but verify. You know, you can trust everyone. You can trust all these people, but verify who they are, who they are. Verify that they are able to help you in whatever way. I did not do that. It cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, trusting the wrong people. So that is a big thing when you're young, is people not guiding you in the right way. You know, I had many bad experiences, unfortunately, which I'm still trying to work on to navigate through. So it's a life lesson. This is, you never stop learning, and, you know, and you got to love to learn. And that's my biggest advice.
Would you also tie into that comment, Dustin, that you got to understand your why, otherwise you will not have the motivation to get through those tough times?
Absolutely. I mean, you need to decide, if you're going to go through with having your own business, it's pretty much, you know, all you can think about. And you need to know where you're going and why you're doing it. You know, myself, I'm hoping my little one's going to take over the company. So I take her to meetings. I take her sometimes out. I mean, is it going to happen? No, but at least she knows her dad is someone that works and what I'm doing when I'm gone, you know? So that's sort of my why. you know, right now, and to be able to create intergenerational wealth. You know, my family haven't done that, so I'm trying to take our family to the next level. And my parents gave me the opportunity. You know, they paid for my school. I was extremely lucky in life, and now it's my turn to try to work on that. And that's what my kind of what my why is as well. Very important.
Yeah, if you can tie in a personal connection and your business connection into your why, I find it's a really powerful combination. If your Absolutely. Why is just business, I think you may struggle.
Yeah, because when it's 2:30 in the morning and you're writing emails to clients knowing you have to get up at 5 to get on a job site, how much do you want something? You know, that's really what it comes down to, you know.
Hey, Dustin, listen, we're out of time. Thanks for doing this. But before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your services?
Yeah, well we have a website, dustindesigndrafting.com. That's our main thing. You can send us an email at info@dustindesigndrafting.com. And you can always call my cell at 613-795-2860. And even send a text. I'm available anytime to you know, even as a mentor for anyone that's in architecture. That's one thing I really do believe in.
Thanks so much for your time today, Dustin. Really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thanks, Pat. Really appreciate it as well.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.